I'm glad you came back tonight. I hoped I didn't run everybody off. I was telling my testimony to a group of junior kids. I love kids, I do. All ages, all sizes. And I told them, I said, after I sick, my wife had to do everything me, just like your mother had to do everything you. Well, when it got done, this little 10-year-old boy came up and said, Brother John, did she spank you too? I said, no, but she wanted to a few times. Turn to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. I do want to thank Pastor Damron letting me come here, this great church, one of the greatest churches I preach at. Thank you so much, Pastor. And you know, camp, a couple years ago, it was teen week, had speaker preach morning service to teens on purity. Oh, wow. He took Bible, showed how Word of God teach us to be pure, showed us how to keep our lives pure. You know, just last week, a study was done. In that study, they found three things. Music changes your personality. That's what they found. And let me tell you something. If you listen worldly music constantly, it will change what you are. If it worldly, that's what you become. They also found you can be addicted to music. Now, us preachers have known that for years. I've preached that for years. I don't know how long, but know I've preached it some years since illness. It's addictive. And then the third thing, and I'm going to say this, it adds to depression. Now, when I going through my depression, I found two things help me out. It. One, listening Word of God. 2 hours or more a day. Old King James Bible. Now don't listen to those other translations. They'll mess you up. I tell preacher, why do you study out of something wrong and then preach something right? All I use is King James Bible. That's all I need. And so I listen. That I still do. I get most Bible from listening to because I'm not a good reader. And my second tool is listening godly music. Oh, I praise the Lord. You know what Pastor Damron did for me and my daughter? He came to our car, we parked, and gave us, I think, 2 CDs of godly music. Praise the Lord. I can't wait to get them, play them. That's a lot of the time way I go to sleep at night. I got a special thing put under my pillow. I hear the music with it. What's that called, Pastor?
Speaker,
that's what I did. It's a special little speaker, cushion, go under pillow. I hook it up, CD player, and just start it. Lay on my pillow and go sleep. And notice I said godly music, not Christian music. Some music they call Christian isn't godly. You have to be careful kind music listen to. Oh, God would help me out of those deep, dark pits. He really would. Well, man, we looking night at David. Boy, David. In Book of Psalms, tell us a lot about his dark times. Oh, wow. He went through them. He talked about the loss of his little child. Now, you think of this. Because of his sin with Bathsheba, God told him. He wasn't guessing at this. God told him through prophet, your child gonna die. Now, I pastored about 5 years after my illness. I was pastoring when got sick. My church patient me, and church grew more after my illness than before. God blessed us. Of course, I couldn't preach but about 10, 15 minutes. I told him that's why you like it. You're not fooling me. Well, then I tell you something. The Lord blessed us. But I remember those days. But I had a couple families lose child, one to accident, one illness. I never went to either of those families and said, you know, probably God killed them for something you've done. I never did that, never would do that. But that's what God did then. Did David get mad at God and say, see if I ever serve you again? See if I ever love you anymore? No. Do you know you study Book of Psalms and a lot of them have those little headings over top. Now, those aren't inspired, but many of those were handed down by those dear old saints in Old Testament of the time period they were written. Some of David's dearest songs were during those darkest hours. You know, when people depressed, you know what God gave David and us today? He gave us a songbook. That's what Book of Psalms is. It's songbook. Praise the Lord. You can't beat that. I love singing. I can't sing very good. But I was on plane one time. And always try to witness the person beside me. I said to the next man, I said, I'm Brother John. And how are you doing? And start up conversation. And so then I start in talking about the Lord, how good he is. This man changed subject, start something else. I talked with him while that. Then I went back about the Lord. He changed subject, went something else. I talked while I wasn't ready to give up. I went back to the Lord. Finally, he said, "Now, Brother John, I might as well tell you, I'm atheist. I don't believe there is a God. So you're wasting your time with me." I said, "Oh my, am I sorry." He said, "What sorry about?" "Oh, I'm sorry for you, sir. I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't believe in God. You don't know what you're missing." I said, "God helps me down here. I've been through a lot, but God has helped me every time. And then when I die, I've got it made. I'm going to heaven. It's going to be so wonderful, and you're going to miss out that too." He said, "I heard in that book you all used, people like me say there is no God is a fool." He said, "Do you believe I'm a fool?" I said, "Sir, of course, if God says you're a fool, you are a fool. But you're one of the nicest fools I ever met." He says, "All right, give me your spiel." He let me talk to him about 20 minutes, whole plan of salvation. Didn't get saved. No, didn't get saved. But he heard the whole thing. Praise the Lord. Wow. I love to talk to people about the Lord. Oh, I got to tell you this other. I seated beside this lady, began to talk to her about the Lord. She said, "Well, you sound just like my mother." I said, "What mean?" She said, "My mother's what called old-fashioned Methodist. I just came from seeing her. She's real sick, but she's too mean to die. But she is what she calls a fundamentalist Christian." I said, "Well, praise the Lord. That sounds good to me." I said, "What you need is Jesus Christ." I said, "I'm sick of hearing that about Jesus Christ. I don't care if you believe in God. I don't care if you what you believe. But what right do you have to say Jesus has exclusivity?" "Well, that's a word never heard." My Donna never sat me down and said, "John, you need to learn exclusivity." I never heard. I said, "Ma'am, if you tell me that meaning of word, I'll try answer for you." She said, "That means he has the sole right. Nobody else have it. Just him." "Oh," I said, "I can answer that. I can answer that." She said, "What?" I said, "Ma'am, he walked on earth. He is the only one who ever said, I'm going to die. And after I die, I'll be in grave 3 days. And I'm going to come out of that grave alive in 3 days. And ma'am, he did it." And I said, "When you can say you're going to come out of the grave when you say you are, you can make your own rules." She said, I bet you believe God made the world in 7 days too, don't you? I said, no, ma'am, he did it in six. He rested on the seventh. She didn't like that either. But let me tell you, God has sense humor. They came by, gave us our drink and peanuts. This quite a while back before COVID. Well, I opened my peanuts, was eating them and drinking. She couldn't get her peanuts open. She looked over at me. She handed them to me and said, will you open these? And I turned them up out the way. Said, you see this little tab right here? I tore it open. I'm thinking in my mind, yes, Miss Smarty Pants, you can't open your peanuts. She told me, Pastor Diamond, she told me in the conversation she had two PhDs. I'm thinking, this woman, two PhDs, can't open her peanuts. God let me do it, though. Well, I love my Donna. When they brought her home from that second knee surgery, bless her heart. Most people, when they get knee surgery, they get them up the next day or two to walk. That's just the normal thing. But hers was so bad, they said she would have to be in a wheelchair for many days, maybe even weeks. It was so bad. So my boys, I can't drive. My boys brought her in. I said, bring her in the living room. They did. I said, I'll take care of her now. And they left. I came in the living room, and I say to my Donna, Donna, now it's my turn. I said, over these years, you've done everything for me. You've helped me with everything. Now, I'm going to help you with everything. If you need anything, you tell me. I'll do it. Now, I tell you, that wasn't easy. I messed things up, I'll tell you. But I love her so much. I remember one time I knew she wanted something, but she said, no, she didn't want it because it's too expensive. That way my Donna is. She doesn't want me to spend a lot of money on her, but I like to do it anyhow. So I got this gift for my waiting special time. I told her, now you wait in the living room. I had it hid in the living room. I went in the kitchen and wrote on the calendar of that day, in the box of the date of that day. I went in. I said, here, Don, here, give you. I gave her the gift. I knew what to say. She said to me, John, you shouldn't spend that much. I said, Donna, it's a national holiday. She said, national holiday? What national holiday? I said, go look on calendar. She went and looked on calendar, and it says, I love my Donna Day. I got by that, too. I got some sugar as well. I do about anything sugar. I like lipidated better than granulated. David's first marriage ended up disaster. His wife despised him in her heart. And the judgment came up on her. He had children that did terrible things. I don't know how that feels. I have two sons, pastor, one son, child evangelist. How did David stay sweet? Notice this written at the end of his life. These be last words, David. Here's what I say. He kept praying for the strength of God. Kept praying for the strength of God. Read his Psalms. See how often he prayed that. He kept singing the praises of God. Oh, hallelujah for God's people who can sing. I love it. He kept loving the house of God. Boy, I tell you, David really, really loved the house of God. He was when he wanted to build a beautiful house for God. And at first when he told the prophet got excited, said, have at it. Then God told the prophet, no, can't do it. He shed so much blood, he can't be the one. His son will have to do it. Did David get mad again and say, well, if I can't do it, what's the matter? No, here's what David did. He pitched in and had lots of silver and gold and iron and precious jewels, everything just waiting, Solomon. David loved house of God. And then I think he kept meditating on the Word of God. David talks a lot about meditating on the Word of God. How precious in the Psalm that is. He kept going to altar of God. I love how David refers Psalms to altar God. What blessing. A dear pastor friend of mine says this, and I think right. The fire of God never falls on an empty altar. Never falls on an empty altar. People never be ashamed. I saw several of you, dear people, this morning at the altar. Oh, I thank the Lord that. Never be ashamed come to old-fashioned altar. I probably come to altar in our church more anyone. I come with this desire. God, speak my heart. I do you say me to. I love to use the altar of God. It keeps you tender. Really does. I close this. I got quit. My Donna took me Little Rock after my illness. I hadn't been there since. I did not know my seizures that time were motion triggered. Back then, they're not now, but then were, for some reason, we don't know, doctors don't. And I started having terrible, terrible time. So bad, she thought, better take me emergency room. Now, I'd never been that hospital since the old nest. I talk worse than do now. I was having difficulty even breathing. Well, when I there in emergency room, I was sweating a lot, hardly talk. And they asked my Donna to leave. Another doctor came in. I didn't know he psychiatrist. Now, there's Christian psychiatrists that can be blessing. I thank God for the one in that hospital that rescued me. But the man talking me that evening wasn't. He asked me odd questions, several, but I'm just telling you two. He asked me, did I ever think of going to heaven? Well, I just told him, yes, I do. Don't ever tell psychiatrists that. I promise you, buddy. I should have told him I'm not wanting to go right now, but I do think about it. If you're in the shape I am, you think about heaven. Then why in the world ask me this? They asked me, do you ever speak to the devil? Let me tell you what had happened about 4 days before this visit. I was listening to my Bible on cassette, and I'd come across where Jesus said to Peter, when Peter tried to keep him from going to the cross, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he also said that to the devil when he tried to fight him in the garden. Twice, get thee behind me, Satan. So I had started saying that when temptations come me. Get thee behind me, Satan. So when that psychiatrist asked me, I told him, I sure do. I promise you in trouble if you ever say that. I didn't mean like I see him right in front of me and tell him. Wow. They locked me up in the mental ward of that hospital that night without my Donna there. Anything. Put me in this little room. No windows, closed door. Oh, my goodness, it was a nightmare. I would go out of my room sometime in the morning and walk around this little hut. It was a cubicle and all the little rooms around. I remember hearing, even in rooms, screaming, come from one of the rooms, screaming. And I asked one of nurses, I remember first of all what happened. She said to me, number so-and-so, what do you want? She didn't call me by a name. She called me a number. When she did that, that broke heart mine. I just turned around, walked back in my little room, closed the door, sat down against the wall, and said, "Dear God, I'm not even named now. I just number." God never speaks to me personally, but in my heart, it was like I could hear God say, "John, I know your name and I know exactly where you are." Well, I came back out. I said, "Why that screaming?" She said, "That is a young man. Him and his buddy and his girlfriend tried a new drug, new to all three. One time, one night. It didn't hurt other two, but it ruined his mind. All he does is scream and scream until the shot we give him take effect. It's been this way, I don't remember how long, but I believe it was 2 or 3 months. Young people, don't ever try drugs. Listen, the devil would let 100 young people use them and not happen just to get you. Don't ever try. Never. One night, I asked nurse, I said, "Please, don't give me sleep medicine tonight. I want to pray myself sleep. I, Christian." She says, "Okay." I went to my room, shut the door, got on my bed on my knees, just began crying, pouring my heart out to God. Oh, I just had, my heart was just overflowed with, oh, I just cried out to God. Soon she came in with another nurse saying, "We've got to give you a sedative." I said, "I'd be all right. I'd be all right." No, I didn't know they had a camera on me. So they gave me sedative. The next day, they said, "Have a phone call." Didn't say who. They hadn't been letting me have any phone calls. When in a place like that, they cut you off from family, everybody, because they're not certain if maybe one of family or somebody may be causing some trouble. But that morning, they let me. I went to the phone, picked it up, and I heard, "John," and I nearly went to my knees. I didn't need to say another word. Nobody says John like my Donna. I knew it, her. We cried, talked, hung up phone. Finally, a Christian psychiatrist heard my case, came talk to me. I told him why I gave answers. He said, "You don't belong here." That next day, my Donna coming to that hospital. Buddy, she was mad. She wasn't armed, but she was ready to fight. She was going to get some answers. And the time she got there and was making her way to the psych ward, they had dismissed me. I remember when that door shut behind me. Oh, how I said, "Thank you, God, thank you." But there were two doors. I said, God, please open that door, please. I was so scared that there's two doors. Let me tell you something. All the time I'm in there, the devil kept telling me, God isn't good, or he wouldn't let you go all this too. A good God wouldn't put you through this with all you've been through. He wouldn't allow that. A good God wouldn't do that. I told devil, he a liar. He is a good God. I never told them I said it. I knew better that. They opened that door. There stood my daughter. Oh, thank God. She was there for me. She took me in her arms. We wept. She said, let's go home. I said, let's do. God delivered me. And let me tell you something. Most cases in those psych wards are drugs, most. But there's some things go on in those places. You cannot explain away, but demonic. I'm telling you, it's demonic. But thank God we have a God greater than all of that. Stay in your Bible. Stay in the house of God. Have godly music. Keep your life pure. Let God bless you, use you. There may be tough times coming, but you can make it. Pastor Damon, would you come while we all stand and the musicians make their way? And I want you to do God's will tonight, whatever that might be.